Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So you're a big ice cream connoisseur.
If you're like, what do you enjoy on vacations? I'm like, ice cream.
The last time that I forgot to pack pants, brought two belts, no pants. Hey, everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, is my lovely wife, my co-host, and my best friend, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Looking cool. Nothing negative to say here. Andy Lara.
Downtown.
Which one are you doing? The Macklemore one or the old one?
Downtown.
Yeah. Downtown. You remember that there was an Arrested Development scene? She's like, I would do anything. And he goes, anything? And he goes, maybe go. You go downtown, and then she goes into the song. but anyways, welcome to our podcast, everybody, our little podcast that could. Thanks for tuning in. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're into, what are people doing right now? They're doing laundry. They're driving to work. They're... Yep.
Grocery shopping.
They just dropped their kids off at school.
Yep. Sports.
Sports.
Extracurriculars for their children.
They're on a walk. They're on a jog. They're seeing a rattlesnake on a hike.
You buried my lead. Yeah, they're doing stuff. Yeah, it's mostly laundry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our studio currently smells like eggs.
Sorry. How dare Andy have a breakfast? How dare he?
We have a 4x4 room here that we... And Andy has a microwave under the desk we didn't know about.
Yeah, he cooked the eggs in the microwave.
It's too crunchy for that. It's actually a whole convention.
Andy's got a hot plate.
Yeah, hot plate.
Camping stove.
Yeah, camping stove. We actually do real fire here. In the
is that a slow cooker?
Yes, that it is.
It is. My dad
got some meatballs going.
Yeah.
For tonight.
Hey, you know, big family.
Get it in while you can.
My dad lived with us for 10 years, and he had the smallest room in the house, and he put a microwave in his room, and you're like, so microwaves aren't meant for bedrooms.
he had 20 extension cords.
I tell a hotel that.
Yeah. In your bedroom, you know, in your hotel, you're just okay letting everything, you know... smell the way that it smells because you don't live there. But so my dad's room developed a real certain I've been microwaving food in here smell.
He had a mini fridge like on top of like a plastic set of drawers.
I don't think the fridge was on the drawers. I think it went fridge, drawers, microwave. I think it was a tower.
It was. And he has that carpentry background, so he could always like wedge another shelf in there.
Didn't look nice, but it was effective.
I mean he was with us the whole pandemic, so you know, you get creative.
Yeah,
you start throwing some plastic.
Well, he didn't have a house and he didn't, so he was just like, this is my room, and then he kind of made our back porch his room as well.
That's right.
So
well, yeah, you know, we all did some strange things during the pandemic.
We really did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bagels and old fashions for us.
Some new hobbies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, let's start getting into cheese bagels. Those are good for you, right?
Stress eating at its core.
Yeah.
So anyways,
thanks for that. But we're talking friendships today, right?
Sorry. Yeah, I just got to move on. I got stuck.
You?
I know. You're trying to get to the content.
We're not looking to do a pandemic recap.
No, we cover that so much.
Covering friendships during the pandemic, that'll get real dicey.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
We didn't make it in anybody's pod. Remember the pods?
I do. Okay. Patreon Zoom, Tuesday, April 7th.
Speaking of pods.
5 p.m. Give a little more. Get a little more.
Give a little more. Get a little more.
Patreon.
Give a little. Get a little. What's the Music Man song?
Pick a little, talk a little. Pick a little, talk a little. It's show week.
It is show week. Show week in Peter Pan Jr. Theater here.
Oh, it is show week, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell you guys. My son got the lead in our little theater.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What play? What?
Benny and the Shacks.
Is he Benny?
Yes.
Benny.
He's Benny.
Amazing.
What's Benny and the Shacks?
It's basically a theatrical re-edition of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
There we go.
Yep.
Benny and the Shacks.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
Danny. Like, obviously, Danny. Getting it from Benny and the Jacks.
Oh, my gosh. That's
but
so
it's
funny.
Danny and the Shacks. Because Daniel.
That's so funny, yeah.
Yeah, I realized that's...
Did you say
music,
Benny?
I said
he
Benny.
Did.
Oh,
he
I was
did.
Like,
I know the song it's referencing.
Yeah, yeah. So do they, Danny and the Shacks, do they do that?
Out. He's going to know.
I haven't been going to rehearsals.
It's a hot song. Yeah. It's a fire song.
It's a fire.
Fire song. Hmm? Sorry. I was trying to remember what musicals, like church musicals we did. Anyway.
They have like a local radio station called The Lion's Den. Welcome back to the den.
Roar.
Yeah, we got this new... The lion's are sleeping, but we're wide awake here at 94.9 The Den. This is a new one by Danny and the Shacks.
It's too much.
It's a love song called Nonprofit. I don't know, nothing? Nonprofit. I was trying to do something off of profit.
Yeah. Making your dreams come true.
Making your dreams come true. There you go. Dreams. Yeah, Daniel, iconic character, got really the lion and the by itself and the dreams.
It's a lot,
Daniel. Yeah, Daniel's got a lot.
He got a lot going on.
Shout out, Daniel. So, congrats. Ours is not a lead. Slightly bigger production, a little harder to get a lead. It's like, remember our episode of Nate Land with the small town sports. You're like, my son's a four-sport athlete. You're like, well, he has a graduating class of 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. It's all accurate.
Lettered in four sports. You know, there's only three sports seasons. How did that happen? Well, he was an honorary captain in a sport he didn't do. Great. Love that for them. So, anyways, show week here.
Patreon Zoom. Do you want to read your shows?
Did you say what the Patreon Zoom was?
I said, give a little more, get a little more. I can barely get a word in here. Do you want to read your shows or do you want me to explain Patreon?
Stepping on each other's toes here. Let's talk a little about Patreon Zoom and then I'll do the shows.
So... Yeah, Patreon is a way to get a little extra from us, and that includes a monthly Patreon Zoom hang, discounts on merch, VIP meet and greets at shows, top tier is a monthly thrift store item from Dustin with a card. We also do shout outs at the end of the episode, and we also post behind the scenes every week from our podcast episodes on our Patreon page.
So lots check of stuff. It out. Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Upcoming shows. Or did you have something else you were say?
Oh, and our annual Nickerson Family Christmas card.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what everyone in March is concerned
thinking.
About. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was talking when Gloria went up with me to Seattle, and I was thinking a little bit about Christmas. I was like, all right, 9 months.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Upcoming shows. April 2nd through 4th, I'm going to be in Philly. April 11th, Belleville, Illinois, just outside of St. Louis. And then we go to Fort Wayne, Lansing, Portland, Oregon, Missoula, Montana, Spokane, Vancouver, Las Vegas, Birmingham, Atlanta, Columbus, Cincy, Louisville, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Denver, Eugene, Springfield. And then these are new dates that we've added for the fall. Columbia, Missouri, Jacksonville, Orlando, Dayton, Ohio, Rochester, New York, Albany, New York, Syracuse, New York, San Jose, Lowell, Arkansas, Naples, Florida, Tampa, Florida, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Austin, Texas. I think we're going to add a couple more soon to that. Brea, Irvine. What was the other? Lexington is coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
Ontario's on sale, too, actually. I just haven't added that to my dates yet. We got an Ontario, California, Inland Empire, baby, the IE.
I heard on House to get Ontario, Canada.
No, no, no. Oh, we're also adding Toronto, Canada, here shortly. And that'll probably do it for a lot of the year. We're wrapping up.
Love that.
Yeah, here in the den.
Fly to Ontario from San Diego and get there quicker.
Truly, truly. Welcome back to 94.9 The Den and the Lion. And
oh my gosh. So, big weekend. Dustin was out for several
days. We kept calling it a weekend.
It was a residency.
That's usually what we work in, but yeah. I did like a Vegas week in the Northwest.
Yes.
So on Tuesday, I landed in Tacoma and proceeded to do 10 shows.
Yep.
9 sold out in Tacoma at the comedy club there, and then 1 up at the Everett Historical Theater. So many tickets sold. Very, very grateful for every single person that came out. The hometown love is just wonderful, and it's nice to, one nice thing about when you have a lot of fans in an area is you can go to them and be like, hey, you don't all have to come into Seattle. So it's very similar to here in Southern California where you're like, hey, man, I can do San Diego, I can do Orange County, and I can do L.A., and, you know, sometimes you'll see people go inland, too, and you're like, that's how I kind of get to be in the Northwest, that, you know, because I'm like, and now I'm like, let's head Yakima, let's head Bellingham, let's just tour, you know, don't make everyone come into the big city, and so I was very grateful that that many people came out, you know, when you do, Tacoma is, like, the closest to home that I'm ever going to perform in the sense that you're like, I mean, it's the city, it's 4 exits down from where I grew up. So really fun, really humbling. A lot of old friends and haunts all in your meet and greet lines and, you know, wrestling coaches and teachers and high school friends and middle school friends and people who grew up across the street from you. And they know the Tommy that you're referencing, or they know the ravine that you're referencing, and, you know, you're like, it's great. It's a very different kind of experience. So I told you, I was like, I talked to so many people and had so many stories that they're just going to come to me randomly.
Yeah.
I didn't, normally I have a list of when I'm gone on the weekend. It's a folder called Mel Chat. And it's just like, these are the things I'm going to remember to tell Mel.
Yeah.
And I just don't.
There's too much.
There's too much. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did one is the Wild Waves bit going to make it online?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay, great. It's just the local regional water park.
Yeah, I mean
theme park.
The definition of regional. I mean, it's their local, our local water park that it's going into its final summer. And I did some jokes about how I don't know how long it lasts, how it lasted this long. An outdoor water park in Federal Way, Washington. Surely it was an affront for some more nefarious activity. And I then at one of the shows, I go talk about regional humor, and I got a big laugh. I go, that joke wouldn't work 30 minutes north of here.
Yeah.
Like, if I told that joke up in Linwood, they'd be like, oh, yeah, I guess I kind of know Wild Waves.
Driven by it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I had people come up to me like, I went to Decatur. And I was like, I didn't even mention that I went to Decatur. I think it just made the rounds, that old joke about stadium, your high school versus.
Sure.
So I've just hyper-regionalized. Not obviously, like, the fact that, you know, you're familiar with my
it's
work
your
and you're not like, oh, Dustin, the Tacoma guy. That's the thing. You want to be able to do that stuff but not be known for that exclusively. I'm also glad that I've had some big bits about other cities make the rounds, you know, but
No, that's awesome. And then Gloria was on spring break, so she went up with you for
very
a couple
aesthetic
nights.
Trip for her, to use that word.
She also did her first solo flight home.
So the we were talking about time blindness earlier.
a trait of ADHD.
I have a new term that I'm using. How should I even say? Yeah. I have a new term that I've adopted. It's called ADHD tax. And that is literally the financial cost of ADHD.
Yeah.
Losing things, replacing things, running behind.
They should have a line on your taxes. Do you have ADHD? And then you get like 5% off.
Yeah. Rebates on that would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So like this.
Like a credit.
Yeah. So without getting into the deep logistics of the story, which I'll do here in a second, but for the sake of brevity here, I lost a rental car key. It went home with Gloria. And it had to be shipped back. And then the car was still parked at the airport.
Yep.
So the ADHD tax of losing this rental car key was $350. There's a cost. There's certainly an emotional tax of being in a relationship with somebody ADHD. But there's also just a financial tax of just being like, this cost me money. I have been donating phone chargers to maids in hotel rooms across America.
Yep.
It's a Johnny Appleseed of chargers that I just sprinkle behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could trace some of the ADHD, like, just breadcrumbs that fall out of our own bag of just like, oh, there's his wallet. Oh, there's his license.
There's his rental car
keys. There's his keys.
Oh, there's the AirPods.
There's the AirPods. So ADHD tax is real.
Glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. One time you left a shoe. One shoe.
This was like 3 months ago. I think.
Are you the funniest part of that story? I forgot it happened. It's so funny. You immediately go into like the Austin Powers. Who loses a shoe? Loses a shoe. Yeah. I mean, the amount of times that I've forgotten to pack pants.
Yeah.
You're like, oof.
Oh yeah.
But the last time that I forgot to pack pants, it was because I was so focused on remembering a belt. So I brought two belts, no pants. I was like, make sure you bring backup belts in case you forget your belt. Got there. Two pants, no belts. Or, no, I wish. This is how it happens. You get your wires crossed. So ADHD tax is real.
Yeah.
And this one, it was a $350 tax. So what happened was, this was a little bit of ADHD, and it was also just getting out of the normal rhythm of travel, of which I'm very good at. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I do leave stuff on the road, but it's only when there's like new things. What I don't lose a lot on the road is the big three, the phone, wallet, keys. But what happened was, so Gloria did the unaccompanied minor thing, which means I went through security with her, but I'm going in through security in a very different way than I normally do. Normally, I don't have keys in security because most of the time I've gotten an Uber, or when I'm flying out of San Diego, the second I leave my car, my keys are deep in my backpack and I don't think about them until I get back down to San Diego.
Yeah.
But this time I have a key in my pocket. I never have a key in my pocket. And you take all your stuff out of your pockets and what do? You're supposed to put them in your bag because we're not doing a lot of bins anymore. So my phone and my wallet and my rental car key all go in Gloria's purse. And I remember to take my phone and wallet out because it's what I normally have in an airport. And just don't even think about the key.
Yeah, because you weren't actually traveling. Because when I picked her up, I had to go through security. And I'm literally walking through barefoot.
Yeah.
Because I wore sandals that always set it off.
Mm-hmm.
I never would wear those for a flight, but I wasn't flying.
And one flying, yeah.
You know?
Honestly, carrying around a rental key feels like someone gave me their baby to watch.
Yeah.
Like, losing that feels like I don't even want to think about the worst case scenario. And then anytime I'm holding it, I'm in a constant state of existential dread about where is the car key?
Yeah. Yeah, same. And it hits me. I'm also very focused on getting Gloria in the air and making sure she's feeling okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets out and then I'm walking back and it's so funny because I'm actually just kind of like sentimental. This is my childhood airport. I remember coming here with my dad who worked at the airport. Yeah. And it was nice. And then
you got in your feelings about SeaTac?
Yeah. And it happens. I was over it by Sunday, but Friday I was still into it. But then as soon as I got to the rental car, I go, that key is in her purse. I didn't even have to look for it. I just knew I didn't have it. Yeah. And I was also really focused on making sure I kept the ticket.
The parking ticket.
So anyways, now that's just like this sinking feeling of you're like, I don't even know what to do now. So yeah. I go, now I have to, it's very similar. Like now I have to take the rental car shuttle to the rental car center. So I already have a car, but now I'm taking the, so now I'm walking from parking. No one's ever done this. I show up, I go to a gate, I leave. Security. So I go to a gate through security, come back, drive a rental car to. If you think about it, I don't know if anyone's ever done this history of the trip. So I show up to the airport in a rental car already, park, long-term parking, in a car that I've rented from the airport but days ago. Go to secure through security, drop a kid off a gate, come back through security. Whoops. Now I need to go get on the rental car shuttle. I go out to the rental car desk. I tell them, they're like, well, we need a manager. And I'm telling the manager, I go, this is a very weird situation. I have a rental car here. By here, I mean over in the parking area. I don't have a key. And you kind of see their eyes go big. And you're like, well, we don't have a backup key. So here are your choices. Your choices are you can tow the car and pay the replacement key fine. Or probably what's faster and better is you just have them ship that key back up. So the mail, now I feel terrible because it's another job for you to do.
It's fine, but yeah, like, you know, picking a kid up at the airport and going through security and, you know, like, that's 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then but it was super easy. We live right by a FedEx. So I just went and overnighted
it. With ADHD or just being forgetful in general, there's a guilt you feel of, you're like, this costs people time and money.
But I did have a lot of extra time this week because it was just me and Claire and sixth grade math.
Right.
And and preparations for show week.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And then. Mm-hmm. So then.
And you provided Gloria great.
Gloria and I had a great time.
Yeah.
And. Yeah. And then it's Jordan.
Totally worth
well, that the funny is that the job's not done here for me either. I still have to. So now I have to take an Uber back to the hotel, which is like a $70 Uber. And
yeah, SeaTac to Tacoma is
yeah
on Friday.
And then the next day, the next day it gets there. 2 days later, actually, I go on Sunday to do it. This all happens on Friday. I go on Sunday to get because Saturday I have 3 shows, and I'm like, hey, I'm not up for a trip to the airport, and. Jordan, the opener, and Kastner, a very funny guy, gives me a ride, and I'm like, can I buy you breakfast for a ride to the airport? And so, yeah, and then I go to the airport and pay that
find your rental
fairly
car.
Hefty parking thing, because now I've had a car parked at the airport overnight for 2 days. So, anyways.
It's a miracle.
The shows were great. Gloria had a great time. Gloria she brought our old digital camera, which, you know, was forged in the Northwest when we got it.
Got it when she was a baby.
We did some really fun touristy stuff. You know, we hit Pike and, of course, you know, the
Fremont
Gum Wall.
Troll.
And saw the Fremont Troll.
Queen
and
Anne.
Did some vintage shopping. Yeah, Cary Park, Queen Anne. The next day we went to UW, did some vintage shopping. And they liked the U District a lot, which is great. U District is cool.
Cherry Blossoms.
Cherry Blossoms. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Everett's cool now. Everett's got the Funko shop. Everett, the Funkos are from Everett.
We should bring them in.
We have one right here. This is Conan's.
Oh,
Yeah. So
it's a Northwest brand.
Yeah. Yeah. So have you seen the one in Hollywood? They have one just like it in Everett, Washington. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
I've never been inside. I mean,
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just like it. Yeah. And so anyways, the hometown love is great. Mm-hmm. I got nowhere else to use those jokes. And frankly, nowhere else that the Gary Ridgway material hits as hard.
For sure.
Because they just don't know him as well. So thank you, everybody, for coming out. It was a great show.
And then all I want to say is we had a heat wave here, and I hiked my favorite thing, went up to the top of Cowles Mountain, stood on a rock, heard a rattle, and was standing right next to a rattlesnake.
Like how far?
Like a foot?
Really? Yeah.
And
striking distance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I scoot back and then I'm yelling at the guy who's still on the rock, like, sir, excuse me. Everyone has headphones on. And I had one AirPod, but I took it out and then I heard the rattle and I was right there. And anyways, basically I'm taking a little break from the mountain, let those snakes mate and go back in their burrows. Yeah, when it cools down a bit.
Is that why they're out and about? Are they? Is it?
Yeah, it's mating season.
Relatable.
And it's like, you know, the heat wave. So yeah. They loved it. So in about a week and a half, we saw a rattlesnake coiled on the trail.
Almost stepped on it.
And then I saw one at the top of the mountain, like, you know, within...
Full camouflaged into a rock.
Yeah.
Which, when you see it with another person, you're like, you can kind of talk and digest. And,
yeah.
And then you knew if you got bit, you'd be like, well, at least someone's here to help me.
But yeah, that is a thing, like hiking alone. And, I mean, there are other hikers, but you're...
Listen, I broke my ankle jogging alone on my ankle. Had to hike my dumb broken ankle back up to the top of that mountain.
Anyway, I'm just doing some neighborhood walks. Yeah. I am not hiking until it cools down and these snakes go back.
Yeah. Away. Thank you for that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, husband's out of town. I can't be doing this. So, yeah, it's crazy.
That one that we posted a video of, too, even like our reptile sanctuary friend, Jesse.
He's like,
yeah, him and other people were responding like, that is a fat snake. That thing.
Yeah.
That was like, that's the kind you actually come across. You're like, oh, I should be afraid of a snake like that.
Yeah.
But let's get moving because we haven't gotten into the episode yet.
Because snakes are not friends.
Speaking of snakes.
We're just going to read one. I want you to read it. This is our patron, Alec.
Oh, yeah.
Ironically enough, he worked his first job at a Dairy Queen in Juanita. We used to live there, so there you go. These are two very funny stories.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this is from Alec. Yeah, I got my first job at 15, the Dairy Queen in Juanita, Washington. I was 15 years old, working the drive-thru. I had the headset on and said with a voice crack, "Welcome to Dairy Queen, how can I help you?" And over the loudspeaker for the whole restaurant to hear, a woman yells, "You tell that son of a bleep Greg to come to the window." Greg was the night manager and the woman was his wife. His wife was fuming mad, but had to wait for the four cars in front of her to clear out. I served them as fast as I could. When she finally got up to the window, she began to chew him out because she had learned that he had cheated on her with a fellow Dairy Queen employee in the back office just 10 feet from where I was standing. I had to stand right next to him because I needed to keep taking orders from all the cars. They were there now stacking it behind her. Every order has a ticking talk. We were judged by how quickly we fulfilled orders at the end of each shift. Probably by the manager, right? Yeah. That's funny, yeah. So I was getting more and more nervous that my job was on the line because his marriage was on the line. That's so funny. She had packed up all her belongings in the car and was leaving him. And after an excruciating 20 minutes, she finishes yelling at him, turns to me, and asks for a chocolate-dipped cone. So funny. That's unbelievable. Hello, can I help you?
You get me that?
Well, the idea of going through the drive-thru to, like, break up, you know, with your spouse.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
The night manager at Dairy Queen.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I can read this one. Right. Yeah. So this is the second one from Alec. Our store was so poorly run, same store, that the franchise was about to be revoked from corporate. We had to pass one less inspection, so all employees were asked to stay late to clean. At 10 p.m., just after closing, our store manager, who may have been 28 years old, emptied the 355-degree fry grease into a plastic bucket, which immediately melted and splashed onto his bare legs. So we had to call the ambulance, which whisked him away, leaving the rest of the staff, most of us teens, to clean everything, including a river of quickly congealing fry grease on the floor. I don't know how late everyone else stayed because my dad came to get me at midnight and forced me to quit the next day.
Yeah.
So.
That's so funny.
15-year-old Alec was just really struggling at DQ. Yep.
Before we get into this friendship talk. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So you're a big ice cream connoisseur.
I love ice cream.
You love
ice cream. I love it. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty world-renowned. Like, it's not
specific. No, I think you love ice cream more than most.
Than most, yeah.
Like, people like ice cream. You love ice cream.
No, if you're like, what do you enjoy on vacations? I'm like, ice cream. A cone with ice cream.
Where are you
at
with ice cream?
It's the whole vibe.
I mean, I do love eating ice cream when I get it, but the first thought of it is always like, that feels like a lot. But then once I have it, I'm like, yeah, like this is a good choice. So, but I love ice cream. Probably not as much as you. There's no way from the way it sounds. But I mean, I'm a big fan. I'll eat all kinds of flavors of ice cream. I'm pretty open minded. I'm not scared of all wacky flavors of ice cream.
Ice cream, ice cream is like almost like a beer on a plane to you.
I remember.
It's symbolic of something.
I remember the ice creams. Like the trip, the vibe, the location, the flavor. I'm like, that's my core memory.
Melissa's child is just a marker of cones.
Yes.
Like when you look at the timeline of Melissa, it's like waffle cone, 2012. Memory here. 1994. What was the one in Burke Burnett?
Brahms.
Brahms. The little Brahms logo at a strawberry in 1994. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this question, because this is where I was going with this. I was thinking about Dairy Queen. So we're in like the era of ice cream right now. Like it's like salt
like
straw.
Cookies were big. Yeah. Cupcakes were big.
Yeah.
Handles is huge.
Handles is huge.
Forgive me.
There's a Handles open up down the road from here.
Yeah, we're going to get like two or three new ice cream shops this year in La Mesa.
Yeah, Jenny's is big. Yeah. Things are expanding. Do you think that ice cream has gotten better? Or is it just, like, different in variety? Because I was just thinking back, I'm like, I don't think I've ever actually tasted any ice cream that I'm like, this is way better than a dipped cone or a Blizzard. Like, I don't know that... Has ice cream actually gotten better than Dairy Queen? Or has it just gotten trendier and cooler?
Yeah, I think it's just gotten more upscale.
Yeah.
Because...
But not taste better.
Because Dairy Queens are... typically located in small towns.
I mean, Dairy Queens are everywhere. We live in San Diego. There's two of them.
One at the mall and one...
north.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, a lot of small towns have them.
A lot of small towns still have Dairy Queens, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, my uncle, like, used to make ice cream, like, every Christmas or summer. Like, 4th of July, he had, like, a little ice cream, like, thing. I mean, I think actual homemade ice cream does... taste better.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're talking about like what are we comparing, but I think commercial like store ice cream in that way, I don't think anything's really gotten better.
Yeah.
I think it is just varieties and just junk you throw at it.
Yeah.
And you get introduced to maybe like other ways people like ice cream, like, oh, matcha ice cream sure is probably in Japan, but we don't really eat it a lot here until more recently.
Yeah.
So I mean, you get to experience different
things. Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying is like, is Breyers and Salton's, or not Breyers, but is Salton Straw and Jenny's, are they actually better than Baskin Robbins?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I think it's just, it's packaged differently.
Yeah.
You know, like, because
it's newer. It's the new thing.
Jenny's, and they do have a couple vegan, which I guess.
Depending on your needs.
Baskin Robbins still has.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Dairy Queen has a dairy free dilly bar. Everyone's accommodating it.
There you go.
It's true.
So.
It's not great.
Sounds like we're going to have to do a blind tasting.
It's a different version.
I can't really do dairy.
It's definitely a different.
Yeah.
It's a different variation.
This is more just a praise to Dairy Queen that I'm just thinking back on every Salton Straw and every Jenny's, all of which are very good. But I'm like, I don't think any of these were better than, they certainly weren't better than a Blizzard. Nothing's better than a Blizzard. But
I still do think it's regional, though, because if, like, you know, the ice cream I've had in, like, New York and L.A., those are like the more like fancy upper you know.
But are any of them better than what we had, remember the Tillamook Factory or Bluebell, the southern one, right? Bluebell, is that the one?
Tillamook ice cream is awesome.
Tillamook's unbelievable and I think it's called Bluebell.
Or like Ghirardelli's.
Oh gosh, Ghirardelli's unbelievable. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Just don't fall for the packaging. All due respect to those new ice cream spots. I'm just saying, like, you roll into a Baskin Robbins with your family on a Wednesday night, you're going to have a great night.
Yeah.
Don't be like, dude, we got to go to the new spot. Baskin Robbins and Dairy Queen are still there for you. Those are adult friends.
There you go. Segue. Here it is.
We're talking friendship.
Okay, so scroll down a little bit. Okay, so
we wanted to talk a little bit about friendship.
Yeah, I just grabbed an article, not that you actually needed it, but Psychology Today says that strong social connections are among the most powerful predictors of well-being and longevity. Okay, so people who had warmer, deeper relationships in midlife were healthier, happier, and lived longer. Social disconnection is associated with a higher risk of illness, including heart disease, stroke, anxiety, depression, and dementia.
Yeah.
So friendship really can elongate your life.
That's interesting, yeah. So
Social relationships.
Yeah. So we were just talking about this, and we wanted an episode on it because we were, like, you know, we're both 41 now. And we're, like, you know, officially heavy into midlife. And you're like, you know, it's harder to make friends, of course, because you don't. It's never harder to make friends than it is in elementary school and schools and really, you know, jobs, you know. But we don't have jobs. We don't go to a workplace. It's not a fresh crop of people coming in. We don't have classes. So, like, making new friends, but then also just, like, the dynamic of friendships can change so much as you get older because people are moving, literally. They're geographically moving and coming. You are moving and coming and going. And then life stages, yeah. Like,
we were just saying, I've probably said this recently on the podcast, but I have friends who are empty nesters, and we have friends who are pregnant.
Yeah.
And so the whole gamut, like, of, like, single, divorced, married, widowed, separated, you know, like, aging parents, like,
yeah, you do. I had to, you know, when a friend has a baby now, I'm like, I'll see you in 10 years. It's gonna be a minute. Like, I'll be around to help and support and stuff, but I'm like, I just see him holding a 10-year commitment. I mean, it's obviously a lifetime 18, commitment,
but yeah,
but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How old kids are when they graduate from high school.
I know. Well, that is what. Okay. I just read this book while you were gone because I was bored, and it's called
Nothing to Do.
It's a good endorsement for the book.
I was bored. You're in Good Company, and it's The Gift of Friendship, Motherhood, and Showing Up, and it's just like stories and stories that women wrote about friendship, and and there are recipes too. So it got me reflecting on, like, different seasons and different friends I've had. So I liked it.
Yeah.
It was a good one.
Nice.
So that was kind of where the genesis of this episode stemmed from.
It's like weighty, but also nice to think about what that article talked about. You're like, oh, so literal longevity is attached to this too.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like having a friend to hike with.
Snakes had friends.
Snakes had. They were looking for more than friends. They're trying to get out of the friend zone. Do you want to do something like that?
They're in the middle of the trail.
Yeah. You're like, oh, come on, snakes. We're sharing the mountain. This is the one place you're not supposed to be.
Come on, you and me. Let's go.
Yeah. The funny thing about, you said that snake at the top of the mountain, one of the people up there was like, yeah, it's always over there. Or I saw it over here earlier.
Totally. So, yeah. And there's, like, someone getting really close for a photo. You're like, good luck.
Worth it. Totally worth it.
Totally worth it. Also very close to death.
Yeah.
But once I saw the snake, I wanted to tell everyone going up there, watch out for the snake!
Yeah, it is. You have a very cool, interesting thing to tell people.
But I also just, my adrenaline was, like,
I heard it in the video.
Like, I was like, I gotta move. I'm shaking.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's
Dangerous
animal.
Yeah.
We got a couple of those up here. We got those in black. Anytime I see a black widow, I've only seen like three in our 15 years here. but two of the three have been on the handle of our trash can. Yeah. And you're like, well, that'll get my attention every time I touch the trash till the day I die, you know? And when you're staring, you're like, oh, wow, that thing could kill me. Crazy.
I know.
Now, it won't. It doesn't want to. And if it does, I've still got time and I live in a major city. I'm going to survive. But it's scary.
It is scary.
A little spooky. little adrenaline pump. Make me feel a little something.
For sure. So I just thought we would kind of flip-flop and read these because they're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Everyone really represented well. So a lot of these folks are our patrons, but I'm not going to just recognize them all as patrons because a lot of them are.
Yeah.
So Byron said...
who is a patron? I'll do it for you. Thanks for being patrons,
well,
guys.
Well, at one point I couldn't figure out if everyone was an active patron or a former patron, and then I just stopped. So,
that's
so
hilarious.
Yeah, but our fan base here. Byron said, the struggle to make friends in midlife is real. The other day my wife looked at me and said, is it just me or has Daniel Radcliffe gotten so hot recently? After giving her a blank stare, she just hung her head and said, man, I need more girlfriends.
Ah, that's funny. That's very funny. This one's from Stephanie, who's a patron. I have three kids, very similar in age to you guys, 18, 15, and 11. Recently, I had to share the contact info in my phone to one of my best friends and saw she was noted as Austin's mom. Her daughter was one of my oldest son's best friends back in elementary school. I love seeing that little reminder note from the past. That is funny. Yeah, you
yeah,
are like
my whole contact list.
Yeah.
So-and-so's mom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mine is comedy club manager, video
yes.
person Philly,
mm-hmm.
radio contact Austin.
For sure. Photographer in Tampa.
Oh, I got, I didn't tell you this. This is a side note. Andrew, just off the six, the photographer,
yeah. mm-hmm.
he messaged me and he's like, hey, so my wife works for this company that's based in Omaha. Anyways, we got an invite to our gala, mm-hmm. and saw that you're the performer. See you in Omaha. So I have a corporate in Omaha that Andrew's going to be at.
They got married.
Yeah.
In May, I think they were engaged.
Yeah, it's just very funny. I've never had to do a corporate in front of a friend or a corporate in front of a person who knows comedy. And I told them in advance, I was like, hey, man, just so you know, I'm not going to be the most creatively fulfilled up there.
He gets it.
He gets it.
He, as a photographer, he's done.
Dude, we're going to be in the Redwood Room of some Renaissance hotel. And I'm going to be performing. It's going to be the widest room. It's always wide.
Yep.
You walk in and you're on a stage that is not bigger than this table. And you're on this little wobbly stage. In a banquet room.
Yeah.
And
we have a wedding reception there.
And there's just two Mackies on sticks, just two speakers on sticks. And you're just, it's like a wedding. Yeah. It's very much like a wedding. And it's, oh gosh. It'll be fine, and I'll do a good job.
Everyone always loves it.
They love it.
They love it.
Yeah, but it's...
it's not a comedy club.
It's not a comedy club. No. Anyways, go ahead.
I love that. Okay, we got Christy here. She says, I feel as I get older, I have a handful of friends that are real deep relationships because we have lived some life.
Yeah.
We have shared experiences, both highs and lows and in between. We have stood by each other. We appreciate each other. We don't take it personally if we can't get together for a bit because life has gotten hard.
That's good. I talked to a friend recently who had a bit of a health scare, and I called him. And I'm not going to air his health stuff, so I'm not going to say the name, but he's a comedian friend who his career's going pretty well. And I kind of apologized to him. I was like, I'm sorry that it took this for me to call you and see how you're doing. And he said something really interesting, and he goes, don't do that to yourself. And he goes, I think about a lot, like, this is the cost of having successful friends. And he was talking about, like, particularly comedian friends who are just busy. And he named you know, like, he's like, if, you know, you or Taylor or Zoltan or whatever, like, it, or I, because it's been both ways. It's not like this guy has been reaching out to me a ton either to see how we're doing.
Sometimes, but it was, overlap,
And that's the dream, is when you see somebody in an airport on a layover for an hour and you just connect there. But it was a very, like, sweet, nice sentiment of you're like, you know, we're all busy with our families and our careers, and it is good to be gracious to one another in that, to not be like, you never text me or you never call me. And if you have someone who is busy in their, like, some people just have more downtime in their life and career, and there also, you have seasons in your life and career where you have more downtime than others, but I don't know. I appreciated the sentiment.
It was gracious.
It was. And I've extended it to others too as well. It's like, sometimes you're like, I wonder why they're not texting me back, and you're like, they're busy, man. You know, like, we're not all just sitting around all day on our phones.
For sure.
This one's from Evan. Evan says, when I was 19, I met this dude in one of my college classes named Kyle. He played metal music and was funny, but I thought, he's kind of weird. Turns out Kyle also thought the same thing of me, until we ended up randomly grabbing lunch together. Since that day, Kyle's been one of my best friends. We go to concerts together, go on to the Beach Reach, a mission trip where you give spring breakers free rides and pancakes. Cool. Being part of a failed church plant, being along for the ride of deconstructing or reconstructing our face over coffee. Whatever's going on in life, long walks during COVID, visiting me in the hospital when I almost died, being present when I met my now wife. More metal shows, love that. Dinners with family, being supportive all the time. Kyle's been one of my best and dearest friends. Because of Kyle, I'm a better follower of Jesus, husband, dad, and person. Being in your 30s is weird, but less weird with a friend. If you're hearing this, Kyle, I love you, man. P.S. If any single Roman Catholic women are listening to this and think Kyle sounds great, he is, and he's looking for a lady to wife up. We live around Peoria, Illinois. Our coffee scene rules. Let me know. It's great.
Thank you, Evan.
Meet Kyle on April 4th at the Richard Pryor statue in Peoria, Illinois. Think of Richard Pryor. That's all I know about Peoria, is they have the Richard Pryor statue. That's great. It's a nice email.
It's nice.
Yeah. I caught up with a very old friend in Tacoma, Gavin. Gavin, who was a middle school into high school friend. And then, you know, kind of just, you go through, like, life's of early 20s stuff. And but then we would just, it was one of those friends, like, Gavin and I probably haven't talked for 10 years. And we sat down and we're like, here we are. It was like a, we just
picked back up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. It's different, like, when you move away from your hometown, you know, or state.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Who you see and stay in touch with is unique. So Cindy is a patron. She is one of our military friends. So she said, midlife best friends are the ones that last, at least in my experience. The one from elementary school, don't know where they are. The ones from high school, barely ever see or talk to them. But each new military station gives me one friend that I care to make the effort to keep up with. I've lived less than 10 minutes from a good friend from high school and college, hardly see her. The one who was with me through the hard times in Vegas, flown twice to see her. Three times if you count the flight to attend her husband's funeral. The one who lived 3 years across from me in Alabama, flown to Alaska in February to spend a week with them. Gone camping in Virginia with them. Drove 3 hours to help her pack her home for her PCS time, and just spent a couple days at the beach with her. She's family.
That makes sense. Military friendships go deep.
Well, I think there's this specific period of time where you are family and you know, neighbors and all that. So. Yeah, it's super unique. I think people feel this way. We've got a couple emails about, like, work friends, too.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. Yeah. She kind of made a point in there of saying, like, I've got one of my closest friends lives 10 minutes away from me, and I never see them. But these other friends I spent these moments with, I've flown and spent a week with them, and, like, I've had that, too. It's like, oh, yeah, like one of my uncles lives literally up the street from me.
Yeah.
I may see him once a year.
Yeah.
You know, but I've, like, you know, seen other
makes sense.
Family.
This one's from Bonnie. What a timely topic for me. I'm about to get on a plane to head to Seoul, South Korea to see one of my best friends and who now lives there. I've been friends with one since we were 12 and the other since college, 30 and 20 years, give or take. Google told me the amount of people who still have friends from 30 years ago is about 17%, but I consider our friendship an even greater anomaly because only the first year of our friendship was spent living in the same city. Our secret to our lasting friendship that has been a long distance for almost all of it is intentionality. We made time for each other to be the one on the phone, AOL Instant Messenger, spent our 10-cent text on each other, traded off traveling each other, and we never let misaligned life phases break our bond. I think ultimately a true lasting friendship is like a lighthouse. The sea takes you places, but as long as the lighthouse stays lit, you always know where you are, and you're able to stay away from rocks that will cause you to lose yourself. The lighthouse never begrudges this ship for how long it has been since it has seen you. It's just content knowing you are safe and can't wait to hear about where you've been and what you've been and what you have seen and experienced while you were apart. Well, that was nice.
Right?
Yeah, I got really nice there.
I know. It's Bonnie's super really, nice.
It's a nice writing.
I think we're coming down to the final two.
Yeah.
Andy, does that sound right? Yeah.
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 Jen here. You've met my best friend. Eleni? Sorry. We discovered Dustin when we saw him open for Taylor and have been to two shows since. Thanks, Jen. Oh, yeah, Mel did a cameo for her birthday. We've been best friends since middle school. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you so much. And then to close it up, we've got Damaris. She said, growing up, I never had a best friend like other kids did. I made good girlfriends along the way, but they were always relatively short-lived. I was always jealous of people who could say we've been best friends since grade school because I really wanted friends that were deep and really knew who I was, but I tended to only have friends that would knowingly date the guy you liked. LOL. I know it was me. I tend to be an oversharer and an open book and annoying, probably. Turns out I just needed to wait until my late 30s and to move to a different state. I found not just one, but three whole best friends that I can and have counted on through the worst times in my life. Not only that, the rest of the community I've built here through work are people I know would gladly endure a flesh wound for me and I for them. I tell my kids that it's never too late to make deep friendships and you'll be all right if it takes some time. That just gives you more time to become the type of person people value in their lives, as well as to discern the kind of people you need around you. And I think we're good, Andy, on the rest.
That's nice.
But I just thought that was so sweet.
Yeah.
So,
that's really nice.
Yeah, I feel like our patrons and fans really just kind of summarized friendship really well.
Kind of did the episode for us.
They did the work for us.
Thanks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any extra thoughts or added? I mean,
I literally don't.
Really?
No. I do. I have one.
One. Yeah.
Okay. If you're like, well, I don't have any friends. Try like taking acquaintance a little bit further. Mm-hmm. You know, like ask them to. Like, you're going to go pick up lunch. Do they want lunch? Like, at work?
Yeah.
Or, I brought you a coffee. Or, you know, like, just take it a little bit further and see how that they respond
to that. Start asking for favors. Ride to the airport.
I lost my keys.
Help. Yeah.
You got a truck?
Help me move.
Could you bring me a meal?
I need $5,000. Can you? I'm good for it. You can trust that I'm good for it. I need a babysitter.
Will you be my godfather?
I was just going to say that. My child needs
a godfather.
Yeah. Another way.
Can you help me process my divorce?
Yeah. Another way to start making friends is to get into mid-level marketing.
I have an exciting opportunity
via
Facebook DMs.
What do you need? You need yoga pants. You need what was that? Weren't they selling pants for a while?
Oh yeah,
Lulu Row was a really big one.
Yeah,
as well as essential oils.
Yeah, oils. Your makeup. Tupperwares were kind of the OGs, right?
Or was Mary Kay,
like
Tupperware. Yeah.
It's wild that Tupperware was an MLM.
Yeah.
You think about that now.
Avon was
the big.
I mean, Mary Kay's the big one, right?
Yeah, Avon, Mary Kay.
Yes. Now they have new ones.
Well, back in the day when anytime you saw that pink Cadillac, yeah. that pink Mary Kay Cadillac, yeah. you'd be like, "Oh, you're a disingenuous friend." That's what you are. You view your friends as business opportunities.
Community creators.
I know.
Yeah, they're saleswomen. You know?
Yeah. I said what I said.
You sell a house.
I take none
of... You sell a house, you sell a makeup.
I take none of what I say.
Yeah.
You look at your friends as an opportunity for you to level up in your
career.
Financial and career world to get a little...
I don't even care about the makeup one.
Well, because is that because what they were selling you needed?
I think I don't know why I'm fighting you on this.
Candles was a big one.
Candles was huge. there's clothes too. Like Cabbie is a clothing line that women sell. The makeup one, I think you're probably gonna buy it anyways.
Yeah, that's why one you don't mind. Yeah,
right.
And some of their products are good.
Yeah. Well, some of the events were fun that you went to over the years, right? The MLM parties.
An MLM party can be a good time. I mean, that is how Leanne Morgan started. She was a jewelry saleswoman.
Great.
Yeah.
To every aspiring comedian, tell them that get into mid-level marketing. Listen, my version of it was bringer shows.
I know.
Bringer shows in comedy. Yeah. You probably don't know this, but they used to, like, when you first start, there's open mics, and then you start getting booked on shows, and then they have these things called bringer shows where there's a promoter.
Are you familiar with this?
There's a promoter who you will get more stage time the more friends you bring. And so you just bring your friends to these terrible comedy shows.
Ugh.
But they're like, and they give you a little more money and a little more time or something. So they're called bringers. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. That harkens back to the pay to play era of bands. Yeah.
Which, by the way, TikTok's back to that. So.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because you'd have a promoter who would say, okay, well, we got to sell these tickets.
Yeah.
And
bands a lot of times would end up being like, well, we're just going to end up buying 30 of the tickets and just give them away to our friends.
Yeah.
Because
we're
not going to force our friends to buy tickets.
Yeah.
Is the most...
Friendship's hard. Making it in a business is hard, too. But if you can merge the two, now you get a Cadillac.
Now we're talking.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody, want to give a special shout out to our As Essential as Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Thank you, patrons, for making this podcast happen and being such a vital part of our community. That is Alex Foos and Sam Graham,
Avril Griffiths,
Allison Nelson,
Andy and Darlene Gerton,
Bonnie Galindo,
Brandon Schoenberger,
Ryan and Amy Nagel,
Byron Smith,
Carrie Teague,
Chris Finn,
Christopher and Bridget Finland,
Code to Grow,
Courtney Ibling,
Cynthia Carpenter,
Demarius Diaz Stevens,
Daniel Owens,
David and Melissa Cox,
Dave Hoagland,
Dustin Daly,
Jason and Francis White,
Jonathan Ribera,
Jordan Cowan,
I lost my spot, there we go, Juliana Smith,
Christy Harrod,
Lori Amos,
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Matt and Sam Slosdom.
Michelle Carlson.
Nick Cordell.
Neoma Walker.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Restless Mosaic.
Robert and Nellie Capin.
Scott Elliott.
Steven Mania.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Yvette Williams.
Zachary and Tammy Moyle. And Tiffany Payne. Thanks, everybody.
You.